little, it's on. Detour. And that is, as I was considering what next in this line of fellowship, of course, there's a lot of things. And as I mentioned to you last year in one of the retreats, that eventually I feel for the long run, this kind of occasions or opportunities should be more training in nature, meaning that some specific equipping in certain aspects of the church life to make you more effective and useful, and not just always certain general things. But nevertheless, we are still somewhat there. Feel bad about it. I don't have the same kind of opportunity with the young people, young working saints at large, meaning in the churches, except for those times during the two feasts. You know, now it's only the Memorial Day feast and the Thanksgiving feast that we have a gathering. But that is really far and few in between, and the nature is quite general. And so this, I'm very thankful, affords some opportunity for something more specific. And I hope this kind of fellowship could be accessible by young working saints elsewhere, and not just for the Bay Area. Now, obviously, brothers and sisters, we are here for the Lord and for something in the spiritual realm. We are here to, you know, accomplish God's economy and to carry out the Lord's recovery, etc. But I cannot stress enough or emphasize enough of the need of our human situation, our human, including our human vessel and our human condition, or even to be more broad, our humanity, without which we are building on sand. I've been around long enough, and to this date I'm still very involved, extremely involved in various cases in the Lord's recovery in terms of shepherding care. And people of your age and so forth, to realize that how absolutely important our humanity is. If we mean business to go the long haul, all right? The long haul, to finish this race, this race. And so I am somewhat known for talking about these things, even in the FTTA training. Some of you were there. On things on character, on things on disposition, on things on the human living, and so forth. The more I get into those things, the more I am convicted that this is a great need among the saints in general, but especially with you who are starting out in this glorious pathway to be useful to the Master. And so I want to take a little detour to not just talk about, you know, how to preach the gospel, how to do this and that, which I hope we can get into. By the way, I was talking to Paul here that we're going to have our next retreat down there in another camp on the way to south of San Jose, Redwood Christian, in Santa Cruz, this October. And I was commenting that that should be quite a different camp. I don't mean the venue, I mean experience, because up to this time, we have only those kind of retreats twice a year. That's it. It's almost like every time we come together, we have to kind of restart the engine. But not this time. We've been having these meetings every month. We're already running. We're already moving. There's a momentum here. And so when we have these retreats, it should not be just priming the pump again. It should be building on this. And we have to look to the Lord what we should do. I feel those camps should be training camps and not just conference, kind of feel-good camps, you know, but training camps to equip you more specifically to do your job in the church life today. Okay, so now, what are some of the things that I'm concerned about on the side of humanity? I like to firstly, you know, I read books, right? Especially Ni and Lee, they are my favorite authors. And I like to, if anything I want to pass on to the next generation, is the blessedness of reading the books. And as Brother Lee famously told Sister Felice's son, it's all in the books. Indeed, they are. And so yesterday in the elders' training, I freely gave the brothers a list of literature to read for each of those lessons. And here I want to give that to you to find time to read. Now, my starting point is always this book, which I promoted in the FTTA. Again, those in the FTTA know about this. But that, to me, is where it begins. And that is that book called Christ as Reality. Christ as Reality. 1970 or 71. That time when the sort of influx of street people, hippies, or whatever, was sort of at the height. 69, 68, 69, 70, 71, in that kind of a period. It was in a spring informal training in Eldon Hall. I think I'm right. I may be wrong that by that time we had moved to Culver City Auditorium, but I think it was still in Eldon Hall. And Brother Lee was burdened to give a training using the five offerings in Leviticus. Well, lo and behold, the Spirit led our brother to actually devote a lot less time to four of those offerings and stressing one. That one is the meal offering. That book has about 25 chapters and almost 20 are on the meal offering. Now, what is the meal offering? The meal offering is about the human living of Jesus, or the term was quickly coined, the humanity of Jesus. And you have to start there. And I strongly recommend that book for your leisurely reading, at least of those chapters on the meal offering. And there you will find why Brother Lee was so burdened, because he was talking to people who are coming off the streets, coming in that way, burning, loving the Lord, you know, given, and so on and so forth. Yet Brother Lee perceived there is a certain need that he has to make up. What is that? That's the humanity of the brothers and sisters, of these young saints. And one of the chapters which I consider classic is something that he later on shared here, which you mentioned, Jim, last night at the dining table, of these 20 chapters or so. And that is the humanity of Jesus and spiritual warfare. In that chapter, he diagnosed, in a very brief way, the means that the devil used, this is the late 60s, okay, or early 70s, to damage a generation, to render these human vessels made for God's use useless. And he did, Satan's work is to damage not the spirituality, but the humanity of these vessels. Once the vessel like this is broken in pieces or cracked, it cannot contain anything. My, it was warfare. It was, and I remember I was just riveted. As a young person, I was 20 years old, or something like that. And in that chapter, he mentioned three things. And I also make mention of this briefly there in Champagne. Number one, fornication. Number two, what Brother Lee, it's somewhat an old term today, mental case, or we may use the word today, mental disorder, or something like that. And number three, suicide. Apparently, Brother Lee in those days read or, you know, got certain information to cite those three things particularly as what the enemy used to damage a young generation. And he put it under the name spiritual warfare, that there's a fight going on. Now, this time in Champagne, because of that sharing, I kind of Google a little bit, you know, on some of these things. And alarmingly, brothers and sisters, today's suicide rate among college age is record high, even compared to the 60s. Not to mention the society in general. Alarming. Now, there's a lot of factors, everybody's analyzing this, but I'm just telling you the statistics, statistical reality. Mental disorder, same thing. Actually, much worse. From the time of the, from the early part of this century or mid part of the last century, I should say, until now, these kind of things has multiplied at least fivefold. And today, one third of the U.S. population is downing some kind of pill or medication or this or that. There is a evident rise, even in my shepherding experiences, of the increase of this kind of problem. Now, when I talk about this, I don't mean to look down on this problem or think people who have certain psychological difficulty to be lesser people. Please don't take me that way, okay? I don't come from there. But I am talking about some stark facts facing us. And we also have to believe that a lot of this is due to the increased work of Satan. In the 60s, a lot of these kind of drugs, you know what I mean, hard drugs, LSD and speed or whatever it is, that added to this. You know what did Brother Lee say about LSD? It is the scientific demon possession. You know, when you take those kind of drugs, it causes your mind chemically to be opened. And when your mind is open, your being is vacant. That is a sure invitation to demons. All right? And by the way, let me say a word. Never be vacant. Never be vacant. Vacant. You know that story about this person with one demon cast out? And seven came back and lodged in it. So never be vacant. And as a corollary, another thing of not being vacant is don't be idle. When you are blank, when you have nothing to do, that is an invitation to something bad. Okay, all right. The point being that regardless of all the psychiatric or psychological reasons for these things, there is clearly a work of darkness in there to cause this kind of thing to happen. We have one major shooting now per month. Am I right? Where? Sandy Hook, Colorado, Aurora, recently Chattanooga, and there was another one, and Lafayette, and then there were others, obviously. Now, you've got a lot of reason, you know, and some could be considered a case of terrorism, whatever. But what I'm trying to say is this, that there is a line, there is a commonality in a lot of this, and that is these things, the perpetrator, have an unclear and unstable mentality. You know this? I don't think I am, to what degree this and that, I cannot say. But in most cases, that is the situation. And I will tell you today, that instability of the mind is the way that Satan would damage human beings. You read that chapter. Brother Lee say you all have to pray to the Lord. You know, young people, pray to the Lord. That A, the Lord will give you that the Lord will keep you with a clean body. This is the prayer. And number two, the Lord will keep your mind sound, not sharp. Sound rather versus unsound. And thirdly, he said, the Lord have to keep your spirit strengthened. Tripartite. Well, I'm no psychologist, I'm no psychiatrist, I don't know these things. I'm just an observer of the society. But I will tell you, all this is part of the mystery of lawlessness at work. And the young people today are just sitting ducks, and he comes in through many, many avenues and channels to just break down and cause various kind of problems. All right. Suicide is the ultimate destruction of oneself. That kind of thought, that kind of talk, even though there's not that kind of action, is more and more prevalent. Have you heard of these suicide pacts? You know, even teenagers have suicide pacts. In Japan, this is a huge, big thing. Well, brothers and sisters, I am course, not here to get into that realm, get into those things. But all this, coupled with my experiences in caring for saints and this and that, just put within me this strong, strong burden for the humanity of our saints. We love the Lord, we're ready to go, we want to build the church, we want to be H-turners, wonderful, all those things. But if we don't take care of our human situation, somewhere, something will damage us and render us useless in carrying out God's purpose. So clearly this is a huge, big subject. As we are talking about your generation, the Young Working Saints generation, rising up to bear the burden, you have to be what? You have to be the pillars and the standing boards to hold up this tabernacle, all of which are made with acacia wood, which is the type, as far as wood goes, besides the cedar of Lebanon, the pure, perfect, balanced humanity of Christ with his human living, his perfect human life. That's what acacia wood typifies. And only that, all the pillars and all the boards that hold up the tabernacle are made from that wood. That wood, I also did some research, is one of the hardest wood there is, which has many, many species, and today people still use them for construction and building and so on. It's a dense, heavy wood. Not balsa, you know what I mean? Acacia wood. And these are the wood that hold up the you know, they're all together nine pillars. Four pillars between the holy place and the holiest. Five pillars, if I remember correctly, between the outer court and the holy place. One with the veil, the inner veil. The other one is called a screen, all right? These nine pillars represent those gifted ones in the church life that is holding up the covering of this tabernacle and providing a gateway, an entrance for the priest to come through. A lot of rich interpretation if you go to Exodus. I don't have the time here. Dear brothers and sisters, you mean business to serve the Lord as pillars. That's what it means. 2 years ago, 2012 and 2013, I gave about 25 messages to a group of serving saints in the Mainland Scholars work by Skype called Pillarization in the Scriptures, a study of pillars from Genesis to Revelation. The first pillar, actually, is Genesis 28. You know, Jacob's pillow, turns into a pillar. And it ends with the pillar in Revelation that will go no more out in Revelation 3. I did a thorough study of that. It's quite wonderful, and the more I study that, the more I'm deeply inspired. Brothers and sisters, if you mean business, you must not only take care of your spirituality, you must take care of your humanity. You must take care of your human life. The failure usually does not come from the spiritual side. You may grow cold, or you may, that kind of thing. But usually it comes in the human side. You know, even with people who eventually turn against Paul, you know, they teach other things. And I tell you, a lot of those cases is not just a matter they don't speak the truth, they're heretical. No, a lot of those cases, I would believe, comes from an unsound mind, unsober mind, that cause them to interpret things wrongly, to cause them to embrace various kind of philosophies and so on. Well, I'm very burdened for your generation's humanity for the long run. And so sometimes I really want to, maybe when we go to retreat, we can talk about these things. I don't know. Very burdened. Now, why don't you start with that book? Do you sell it here? I hope so. Christ as Reality, the meal offering, about 17 to 20 chapters. Very easy reading. Brother Lee, in those days, extremely easy reading. It'll take you 10 minutes. You can, 10, 15 minutes, you can finish a chapter. Go there, and you'll be very, very helped on this matter. Now, first of all, of course, personally, we all have to be preserved in our human vessel, right? So these things about our psychology, our body, our spirit, all of this. Paul says that you would be preserved blameless in all three parts until his coming back. I mean, Paul is not so general. Oh, Jesus is coming, let's go. No. You should preserve your spirit. You should preserve your soul. Or you should be preserved in your body unblemished for his return. It's that specific. So you need to spend time and work on that if you mean business with the Lord. All right? I'm a bad man. B-A-D, I'm not B-A-T. Huh? Bad man. So I say things that cause people to be nervous and squirm a little bit maybe and react and so on. And anyway, I don't claim that is my ministry, you know. But depending on the audience and situation, especially when I talk to the younger audience, I cannot help but have this burden. I'm not here to fight against anything. I'm not in any kind of movement, conservative movement. I'm not in any kind of, for any kind of social and moral reform. I'm not in that realm. I always say I'm in this realm, right? I'm in this realm. That's the only realm I know to be in. So, but this realm has the Word of God, has its truth, has its standing, has its position, that we cannot compromise with. And therefore, we have to say certain things, not to pick a fight, not to react, but the truth must be spoken. And this truth inoculates, this truth preserves, this truth protects, this truth warns, this truth safeguards. Today, if this truth, the speaking of this truth is muzzled, we're done. We're done. All right. So I just am very, very burdened about this. Now, with you all, some of the, besides this personal side of keeping yourself, certainly one thing that loom large in your human life that is important for God's economy is the matter of your marriage. I'm talking about getting married. I'm talking about being married. I'm talking about staying married. That's what I'm talking about. Another area that I'm deeply burdened about is your work. I have in my iPhone, in a clunky way somewhere, some notes that I put down together about to put down, you know, the thoughts came to me, I just put it down 2 weeks ago. I have a burden sometime to talk to you about faith and the workplace. Workplace meaning where you do your job, where you spend most of your daylight hours in, you know. It's actually there. And that becomes a challenge, you know. What should be a Christian's attitude be towards work, boss? What should a Christian testimony be in a workplace? How do you face temptations? How do you handle, you know, various situations? These are very practical matters that I feel many of you who work needs to be equipped in, right? That's one thing. Another thing that I'm very burdened is about how to deal with money, how to handle money. It's a big thing. It's a big thing. As the economy rises, as saints among us, you know, are making more income or generating wealth, this becomes an issue. We cannot say, no, we just love Jesus. No, I know better than that. Because I wouldn't say I exist in that realm, but let me say I know that realm. I know that realm, and I know what that does to the purest of persons, what money does. And I've seen with my own eyes how money destroyed brothers amongst us with my own eyes. How it destroys marriages. How it brings in sin. And lest you think I'm here exaggerating, you know, gonna just kind of, no, I'm not. I know the evil of those things. So I'm not on some soapbox here to say, you should all quit your job and just serve full time. Huh? That's not my soapbox. I'm saying how you must be aware of a lot of these things so that you would not inadvertently or carelessly fall prey to these things. We can no longer boast in the Lord's recovery that we are divorce free. We can no longer say that in the Lord's recovery we don't have marital problems, some of the more serious sort. We cannot say that mammon does not work in the Lord's recovery. I mean negatively. The effect of it, the temptation of it. All these things, what my burden is to, at the right kind of situation, talk about them. Face them. Now, I don't want to be known as, oh my goodness, this, are you getting into marriage counseling now, you know? Are you some kind of wealth advisor here, you know, Christian wealth advisor? No. Forget about that. The Lord's recovery is the Lord's recovery. We must stay on the central lane, never to veer. But from my many experiences, I realize these things are real. They work, and they pull down people. They affect the saints, and they have their damaging power. And so today I hardly have the time, it's already 5:40, to get into any of these things. I want to just again raise this awareness in you. Like now, brothers and sisters, I have seen plenty of wonderful marriages outside of the Lord's recovery. Good marriages is not our exclusive territory. However, with the Lord's life, all this high peak, all these wonderful things we have, we really should have even a better marriage. But we don't. Or we may not, I should say. Because there are certain principles at work in the human realm that if you don't take care of, no matter how spiritual you are, something will not, it will not work. Now, I will at the same breath tell you that just these things alone, practice, helps a lot. But it is eventually still not God's economy. Right? You know what I mean. What does this mean? This means that these things, helpful things, should be practiced by the couples. In what way? In the way with the cross and the Spirit. Then I will tell you the chances of having a good marriage for God's purpose is actually very high. Very high. We are not here just to be a group with wonderful marriages. That is not the Lord's testimony. But to have bad marriages certainly is not the Lord's testimony. A group of spiritual people with broken marriages, is that the Lord's testimony? It cannot be. So don't go around and say, this Minoru Chen guy, he's finally showing his colors. He's actually some kind of counselor. He's a promoter of a psycho what, you know. No, you're wrong, please. That's unfair. Huh? It says it's unfair, you know. This is unfair casting of me. No, I know better than that. But what I want to do this afternoon is merely to raise your awareness, brothers and sisters, in these human matters you would take care of. For the Lord's sake. But you would take care of by living a God-man life. Through the cross and by the Spirit with resurrection life, we, with the help of some of these things, brothers, then we mean business to take care of our vessel, of our marriage. You know, by the way, we are individually a vessel. But do you know a couple with a home is an extended vessel? And a couple with families with a house is even a bigger vessel. These are all vessels to contain God and to contain the Lord's blessing. And for the Lord's sake, we have to take care of all these matters. If you every day at your workplace are just constantly just not a proper worker, you cannot keep a job, how can you be useful to the Lord, really? You know what I mean? There's something about your disposition, maybe. There's something that you need to change and improve. All these things. When I was younger serving the Lord, I never thought of these things. I just love the Lord Jesus and you'll be okay. And thank the Lord for that innocence and that purity, you know. But over time, I will tell you, even all the turmoil in the Lord's recovery, if you dive deep, deep dive, and find out the real source, usually it's not spiritual. It's some human thing that is wrong. In character, in disposition, in unsoundness of the mind, and in a host of other things. I'm not here to scare you, but I think we all need to follow Brother Lee's advice to pray. I pray very much for this generation, your generation and younger, that the Lord will keep you for the long run, not just for a burst, and then you flame out and you got off the cliff, you know. No, for the long run until the Lord comes back. Amen. The top humanity, the humanity of Jesus, is what we should have. Amen. So when you even say, I eat Jesus, Brother Lee say, actually, only the meal offering is completely vegetarian. There's no blood there. That means it's entirely not for redemption. It is entirely for food, for the priests to eat. So we have to eat this pure Christ. The humanity of Jesus should be our daily food. And we eat him to be normal human beings, to be the highest human being, to be the real God-man. Okay, brothers, I think it is now 6:01. Are you okay? Huh? You okay, huh? Now, please don't go and promote this. Oh, Minoru Chen wants us all to read this. And this is unfair settlement, all right? Please don't do that. You don't need to read this. I just mention it to you to stress this matter. You have some questions related to these things or to this? He has other chapters on money. Very helpful. One is called The Christian Way of Handling Money. Oh, very, very good. Very, very good. Okay. If you have no question, I stop here.